This is Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. I'm your host, Bruce Krentz, making some calls to people in our diabetes program. It's the end of diabetes month. There's three big components to our program: the nurses, the dietitians, and the retinal screeners. I think I'll check in with all of them. But first, our CEO, who's a nurse too, Helga Bryant. Hi, Helga.
Hi, Bruce. How are you today?
You know, I'm great. I can't believe it's the beginning of December.
You know, here it is. Today is November the 30th, so we're catching it on the very last day. But November was Diabetes Month. Not that we slack off on diabetes care and attention throughout the year, but this is the month that we particularly pay attention to that. And I know you're going to be talking to some people about some of the activities and the programs that the region has in place around diabetes. And of course, the excellent, excellent news is the vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds has been approved and is available. So there's lots of clinics going on. Encourage your family, your friends, your social groups, anybody that's got anybody in that age group to please get vaccinated. And I guess for me personally, it means that every single one of my grandchildren will now be vaccinated because the youngest two are 7. So I'm personally excited and very grateful that this got approved. So we're on our way.
We had a staff huddle this morning. Some of the hockey moms said they had their whole team down there getting everybody taken care of. So it's certainly a buzz.
I just heard from Joy yesterday that for our ages 12 and up, so not counting the 5 to 11-year-olds, we just hit 90.1% of our 12 and up that are vaccinated. So, I mean, that's the highest of any of the SDOs in the province, and just so proud of our public for doing their part and for our team that have just organized this so beautifully. So I'm just really, really proud of reaching that landmark. We were working towards 90% and we've just tipped over. So at 90.1%.
Joy was watching that. It ticked up so slowly from 89.1 to 90.
And
Joy can finally let her shoulders down. I think she woke up in the middle of the night every night for a week and a half waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant marker. You know, there's something very different about saying it's 80-something percent or 90%, right?
Totally amazing.
And I think just the last thing I would mention for today is the CTV News reported about this. And we've all known that there is a nursing shortage in the country, in the province, and it's even worse in northern Manitoba. And our remote sites are just being hit incredibly hard. They are staffed, you know, some days primarily, if not solely, by agency staff. And that, you know, while the agency staff are all licensed and regulated and give great care, it is just a little bit of that unpredictability and a lot of work to organize those schedules and organize the travel around that. So, you know, we continue to support UCN in graduating as many nurses as they possibly can. Seats have been increased across the province, but of course, there's a number of years lag time. We certainly acknowledge that as a region. It's one of our highest priorities, but with 1,300 plus vacancies in the province and many, many other choices for nurses, in northern Manitoba, we really do have an extra big mountain to climb around this, but we are certainly all hands on deck and doing everything we possibly can to recruit. I know it was on the media, and I just feel that it's appropriate that we openly acknowledge that we do have a nursing shortage.
If you have a friend who's a nurse, if you have a friend who has a friend, please send them our way. It's a good place to work.
That's right. Talk to them about all the beautiful, you know, activities and geography that is our reality every single day in northern Manitoba that doesn't exist in the rest of the province. Any help that anybody out there can give us would be very much appreciated.
Thanks for taking a couple minutes to talk to me today, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks very much, Bruce. We'll talk to you next time.
Let's quit beating around the bush and dig into this diabetes stuff. I'm going to punch the numbers for Jennifer Freeman, our coordinator and a diabetes nurse educator in Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jen.
Oh, hi, Bruce.
Hey, I'm phoning today because we're just at the end of Diabetes Week, and you might be one of the longest running people in our diabetes program in the region. How many years in diabetes?
17.
17. I think even between Thompson and the Paw, you might have the record. Can you give me the 10,000 foot view? What's our diabetes program about?
Sure. Yeah. It's an education and support program where we will focus on the individual, their goals for wellness, and helping them to understand their modifiable and non-modifiable risk factors. So we know that education, you know, it's only a piece of living well with diabetes, and that the support component of our program is just so critical to people finding success.
So without getting into specifics and talking like saying when Nelson Spence came and saw me yesterday and this is what we talked about, but what does an appointment actually look like?
It's very individual to the person. I mean, there's always certain priorities with clients in terms of screening that we want to complete, be it a foot screen, be it a discussion around lab work. But I like to let the client kind of take the lead. I'll often ask, you know, what were you hoping to get out of today's appointment? And they may have something completely out of left field that I wasn't expecting. Often, though, it's really looking at where they're doing well and then where we can support them to make changes, right? So if every night Jimmy's got high blood sugars, and, you know, we kind of explore, you know, well, what's going on and what was your dinner like and what else were you up to in the evening? Any snacking? Oh, well, yeah, you know, you had a large pizza for supper and, you know, let's kind of talk about how that affects your blood sugar. And, you know, is there ways of changing that? Sometimes, you know, I'll meet with a client and it's very directed. It's you're starting a new medication, you're starting an injectable therapy, and you need to know how to use this. Sometimes they're starting an injectable therapy and they're hesitant, they're worried, they're concerned. Exploring some of those feelings around that is sometimes even 2/3 of the appointment. And then we're going through, okay, well, this is how you do it.
You have to be versed in a number of different things. Lots of things affect our overall health. And in some cases, people aren't ready to make change because there's other things going on in their life. And so your appointments can go anywhere from a counseling and listening and getting the lay of the land with a person's overall spiritual, physical, emotional health, or it could be scientific where you're talking about insulin injection. Did it take you a while to kind of get the hang of all of those aspects of the job?
There's layers to this job, right? Like you have to be a good listener. You have to be a good communicator to really be able to support someone, right? They need to feel like they can tell you anything because it's all those little things that kind of add up, right? I wouldn't want someone to think, you know, they're coming to see me and I'm the diabetes police, right? Like you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that because then they're not going to tell me anything and I'm not going to be able to help them. I haven't gotten bored because it's always changing and no one client is the same.
You're not only in your office, but you guys are on the move too. And you like the travel? You don't like the travel?
The first time I drove on the ice road to Thicket Portage was like, wow, you know, I'm driving on ice. The first time in a helicopter to Piquetinay, it was like, wow, I need to video this. This is so cool. I kind of like to see it as like a unique experience. Are there moments of, oh my gosh, like I'm climbing up this giant hill on a gravel road with no barriers on either side on the 280 to Gillam, and it's a little terrifying. But at the same time, it's kind of a privilege to be able to travel all over and go to places that I might not have gone had I not been in this role.
What a way to look at it. You're having adventures and you're getting paid for it.
Exactly.
Now you are getting paid to see the world, well, to see Northern Manitoba, but I'm sure you do some other things in the rest of your life. What's Jen all about when she's not on the 280 with no guardrails on a gravel road?
I'm big into animals. I'm involved with the Northern Manitoba Paws in Need Rescue. That's actually where I got my new puppy. Right now I'm in the process of I'm creating an obstacle course for her out of snow in my backyard. And then I've also been working on some continuing education courses through the Michener Institute and McMaster University.
Funny, I naively asked you the question about what does Jen do outside of work, but I knew it was going to be dogs and pets. which is so cool. Thanks for taking my call, though. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Bruce.
Nurses are one part of the team and dietitians are another. Orabim Kingson is our diabetes dietitian in the PAW. I haven't talked to her in a while. Now feels like a good time. Hi, Orabim.
Oh, hi, Bruce.
I'm calling around, just checking in with some of the people on our diabetes team. But before you and I talk diabetes, you and I started in the program kind of at the same time. So you were hired by Rochelle, I think, McDonald. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she was. And well, if Rochelle listens to this, thank you. You definitely know how to pick them.
I feel like from talking to you that the PAW has been a really good landing for you. What made you choose the PAW?
Well, what made me choose the PAW was just the job, right? It was my dream job. So I thought, well, even though I've never heard of the PAW, because I mean, I'm Nigerian originally, right? So I'm not too super familiar with like Canada or Manitoba. It was a really good job. I thought it was worth the move. So I packed up all my stuff in my little sedan car. And I moved to this town where I knew nobody, not a single soul, knew nothing about the town. And it's been fantastic ever since. I love it. It's small. Everyone's so nice, you know, so pleasant. No, I've had a fantastic time so far.
You started your journey in Nigeria. So where the town that you lived in or the place that you lived in, was it anything like the, I'm guessing it was warmer. Was it a small town or what was that like?
Oh, no, I lived in the city. I'm not even sure how many people are in that city, but definitely in the millions. So it's a big difference from the PA.
Give us the name of the city so we can all look it up on Google.
It's called Port Harcourt.
I'm not even going to try to say that.
You can try, Bruce. Come on.
Portakis?
Well, maybe I'll just text it to you. How about that?
We talked to Jen Freeman about the diabetes nurse role, but now I'm curious, can you tell me what exactly you do inside the diabetes program?
Yeah, so I call myself the food lady. I do everything regarding food. Anyone who needs any nutrition counseling, nutrition education, as long as you have diabetes, you come to me. So I definitely enjoy it. Very passionate about nutrition. I also go to the schools, or I should say I used to pre-COVID, just for some health promotion activities. I work closely with the reserves around town as well, or around the community. So presentations, cooking classes, food demos, those sorts of things. It's a very diverse job, I would say. So it's interesting. It's good.
It feels to me like in some ways you have the most fun part of the diabetes portfolio. So the nurses have to do food assessments and you're in schools talking to kids about healthy eating.
Exactly. And making them snacks. I must agree. I don't envy them having to look at people's feet.
Me either. I got to be totally honest. And there is some overlap. You guys cover for each other.
Yeah. So the goal is for us to be pretty much interchangeable. So a lot of things that they do, I can do as well. So with medications, insulin, any of those injectables, I can handle that. And they also know the nutrition basics. But if it's more in depth, so if it's a bit more complicated nutrition need, then of course they're going to send them to me. And if it's a bit more complicated medication need, then I send them over to the nurse. But pretty much we are interchangeable, except the food assessments. I don't do that at all. But everything else, any one of us is probably a good bet.
It must be a rewarding job to be in, just knowing that there is a high prevalence of diabetes. Does it feel good to be working on that file right now?
Yes. When I see people make progress, it makes me feel so good, you know, just because I know that diabetes is a very hard disease to manage. It's not easy at all. So it's easy for us as health professionals to dish out all these recommendations, but people have life, you know, life happens, life's stressful in addition to having to manage your blood sugar. So I definitely try to be as encouraging as possible and just kind of understand where they're coming from. And when I do see people making those changes, when their blood sugars start to improve, it makes me very happy.
And people are lucky to be able to come see you. You've got a big warm smile and it exudes from you that you're happy to help. So I really feel like you're in the right job and we hope we keep you in it for a long time.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. Well, find me that man. Who knows? You just might be lucky.
I know. We got to find somebody in the PAW and then you'll never leave. That is priority one for us. What do you do in your spare time in this small town so far away from your original home?
Okay, well, I'm going to do a shameless plug here for my friend's business. She has a restaurant that runs out of the Westcana basement. It's called Silla's Good Eats. It's an Afro-Caribbean restaurant. So we sell African foods, some Caribbean foods as well. I work as a dietitian Monday to Friday, and then I go sell people restaurant foods after telling them not to eat out. A little bit of a sticky situation there. But in my defense, everything is cooked from scratch, not processed at all. So it's the better choice if you are going to eat out.
And dietitians, and you'll say this all the time, there's no bad food, just everything in moderation. So it's okay to hit restaurant food, but maybe just not every day.
I think you nailed this. Are you sure you don't want to come do my job one of these days?
I've always said if I could go back again, I might be a dietitian. It's very intriguing. I think that's it. Orban, thanks for talking to me today and telling us your story and the shameless plug for the restaurant that you help out at and for all of the great work you do. I'll see you soon and we'll get a meal from Stella's Good Eats.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Bruce.
I mean, we got to close the loop now with the last position in the diabetes program. It's retinal screening. Shauna Ketchison's been a part of that for quite a while. I think I'll see if I can get a hold of her. Hi, Shauna. How are you today?
Hey, Bruce. I'm doing good.
I was just talking to Orabim. She came all the way from Nigeria, chose the paw basically by sticking a pin in the map. How did you end up in the paw? Is your story as crazy as Orabim's?
No, I'm not as bold as Orabim and brave. mine's more typical. Came from my man. I met him in Brandon, and we came from his work. So we moved here back in 2005, I want to say.
Heartwarming tale. You guys were both in school in Brandon?
I took my nursing in Brandon, and he did his training in Minnedosa. He's a paramedic. We came up north for his full-time position.
Fun fact, I was born in Minnedosa.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I love it.
It's stunning. My parents lived in Erickson. I don't really remember it. I moved to Thompson when I was two. But we go down there quite a bit, and it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. You've been in the PAW since 2005.
Yeah, I've been with the health authority the entire time. I've worked in lots of different areas. Started off at St. Paul's. And then I took an interest to medical nursing. So I always worked part-time. So I was able to work on the medical department of the hospital as well as St. Paul's and second floor clinic. So I was doing those kinds of three jobs for about 10 years and switched over to the PAW clinic for just a short while before I discovered retinal screening. And I've been in retinal for 5 years.
What exactly is retinal screening?
Specially trained nurses take photos of the eyes of people with diabetes who live in the north. We have these digital photos, which we share with our team of ophthalmologists at Lizard Cordia Hospital. So they review them and can do a full assessment of a client's eyes without needing them to come into the city for exams. It helps to prevent complications of diabetes.
Incredible. And it's a neat thing because it's a partnership with FNIB. And so some of your salary comes from an agreement we have with them. And part of it is reaching out. So some of the retinal screening nurses in Thompson are on planes and moving around the north.
Yeah.
Most of your stuff is car travel, but still a large part of your program is outreach, and it's basically removing barriers for people to get this special screening. Am I right with that?
Yeah, you've totally nailed it. And that's the really cool thing is that we get to take these day trips to communities like Easterville, Grand Rapids, Cormorant, Moose Lake, Snow Lake, and Flin Flon. I can go in for the day and really get to know the people. They can come in at their convenience, so it's easier for them to get in. It's just really awesome.
What's your favorite part of being a retinal screening nurse?
You know, I just like being around people, getting to meet them, getting to see where they come from, talk about what they like to do. And that's what I like the most. And with this job, I get some nice one-on-one time to talk to them about things going on in their world so I can connect them with different supports that they might need, whether it's diabetes related or something completely different.
I'll vouch for you. You are a people person and easy to talk to. So
sometimes I talk a lot.
In a good way.
Oh, thanks.
You mentioned earlier that you sort of work part-time for a few years, and I'm going to take a guess that that's because you have a family and some kids and you wanted to spend a bit of time with them. But what do you do outside of retinal screening?
Oh, we're always exploring the north. Like my husband and I, we like to drag our kids out, and whether we're skidooing or quadding or fishing or hiking. This year we got some new cross-country skis, so we're going to do some more of that. Anything outside and exploring, like checking out new places, is my favorite thing to do.
Interesting, because the weather in the Paw is a little different than the West Coast where you grew up. Have you embraced that, or are there some days when you think, maybe it wasn't so bad before?
You know, there's some moments, like when summer ends so quickly. I wish summer would last longer, but they're getting drowned right now, so I don't miss the rain. I like the dry winters, so yeah. You know, you got to make the most of wherever you are. So it's always nice to go home, and it's nice to enjoy what we have here too.
Thanks to Jennifer Freeman, one of our diabetes nurses, Aurobim Kingson, a diabetes dietitian, and to Shauna Ketchison, one of our retinal screeners. So glad they took my calls today. We have admin staff as well, an invaluable part of our team. Hopefully, I can get them next time. And thanks to Helga also, from the top of my phone list. I'm Bruce Krentz, and this is Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. Thanks for listening. If you'd like me to give you a call, or if you have someone whose temperature you think I should take, just drop me a note. bkrentz@nrha.ca.